The Ruined It's for Breakfast catch-up sounds better with a coffee. Save time and pre-order your coffee now on the new Chibo app. 104.7 Triple M.
6:14, Ruined It's for Breakfast on this Wednesday morning. Making news, the other stories, Roo, around the place. Tell me, what's happening with the RAH? It's in the news again.
God, this is starting to look a little bit scary, Dits. Yep. I mean, it's all well and good when builders and government and all that are having a blue and, you know, that's getting delayed and we have to stay in the old RAH for a little bit longer. I mean, no one at that point, you know, for the normal punter out there is getting affected too much. I mean, the RAH is still doing its job and the people in there are still fantastic. But at the moment, the headline, they're talking about a $4 billion legal threat that taxpayers could face. Now, if taxpayers had to front up, if our government went into debt by another couple of billion or whatever, I don't know how it all worked, but a billion, 2 billion, 3 billion or 4 billion bucks, wouldn't that absolutely just decimate our economy?
Yep.
If something happened to go pear-shaped there, and so that's one big issue, Dids. But the other part too, they're saying our government won't get any big contracts from interstate builders and that going forward as well with the way they're behaving. They say the government aren't keen to resolve it. It's like there's another agenda there. If you read between the lines, something's going on there that's not quite right. Like then, that doesn't sound like they're keen to actually finish it off at the moment. They're trying to delay it. Now, I don't know why. I don't quite understand it, but there's talk of a new builder coming in to even finish it now. Mm. Imagine being another builder coming in to finish off a $2 billion job. Like, it wouldn't be that easy coming in to finish things off, you wouldn't have thought.
No.
And it could get very, very ugly. People are going to go broke over this. There's no doubt about it. And, it's going from bad to worse.
Yeah.
Look, it's bad enough being late, but, you know, I don't know.
People for some reason, Australia, this is it's been jinxed from day one, hasn't it, really?
People of South Australia should be concerned. We're going to talk about this later and get a lawyer on just to make sure, just to give us a bit of an understanding of what's going on there.
Yeah, but good idea.
It's looking a little bit ugly.
Right.
Whenever you start talking Supreme Court and billion-dollar lawsuits, that's serious.
Yeah. Lawyers
a bit more
win.
Than what Dennis DiNudo can handle anyway.
Yeah. Now, Ben Cousins in the news again, Roo. What's happened?
Well, he failed to rock up to a court appearance and he did email his lawyer and said, I'm not fit to get there. So I think, you know, the story of Ben Cousins is just gradually getting worse and worse and worse. And it's very, very, very sad.
Yeah.
Whether you like Ben or not. Whether you think he's a dropkick or whether you think he's a champion, he's got issues and we're just going to read about it, unfortunately, for a while, I think.
I just think about his mum and dad. Every time I've seen them, which isn't a lot, they've been in the background, but his dad was a former footballer himself and apparently just a fantastic bloke. Worked at Channel 7 over there in Perth. A lot of people that I know him. And I just feel so sad for them. They seem to be a very normal family, beautiful people.
Yeah, he's beyond help if you talk to people, unfortunately. Benny is a ripper of a lad, but obviously went down the wrong path. I feel sorry for everyone.
Yep, addiction, terrible thing. The good story out of yesterday, bright story. Now, you've had a lot to do with Nugget Reece.
I have had a lot to do with Nugget because Chris McDermott and Tony McGuinness looked after him for a long, long time. And he looked after them, really.
Yeah.
Propped up Rowan Jarman with his work ethic, didn't he, in the day.
Yep.
And he was down at Crows for a long time coming down to cheer us on. But then he came out of the closet and said he was a Port supporter.
Yeah.
That really ruffled feathers. I think it was when McGuinness went down to work at Port Adelaide for a while.
Showed his true colours.
But his biggest claim to fame is obviously what he does with cricket.
Yeah, and it goes back a long, long way. It goes back to Barry Jarman, would you believe, who took him under his wing and befriended him and has looked after him really ever since, and a lot of people have. And he's one of those people, they're at every football club and every cricket club, but he's always in the rooms, and the Australian test team just love him, and they take him under their wing collectively.
Well, if you got a duck, Dits, and you come off, Nugget to be there to put your arm around him and say, everything's all right, mate. He'd get you up. He's one of those blokes that can make you smile no matter what's going
on. So the players' viewing room at the Adelaide Oval is now called the Barry Nugget Reece room. So, good stuff.
That is fantastic.
It is.
You know, a bit of old-fashioned, what would you call it there, feeling or sympathy or love or culture
for
at Adelaide Oval. Yeah. I think it's a good effort.
And he's made 100 on every test ground, apparently. The lads take him out onto the Oval after the play, which I never ever knew. Imagine you've just played a test match and you're tired They go out and they kit him up. He puts the gear on. And he makes 100, and then they all go back in.
And they have to wear wicket-keeping gloves when he watches it because he claps too loud.
Yeah. That's brilliant. Hey, we've got a call coming in, 133353. Good morning.
What the hell's a bloody viewer's playing viewing room? Players' viewing room. Are you kidding me? Did I hear that right? Naming something after... It's KG, by the way.
Yeah, so I thought it was.
Yeah. It was naked on KG.
Well, what's the players' viewing room? They put all the players in there. People can look at them and go, look, there's a player. There's one down there. What's the viewing room?
Where do players sit when they're watching the cricket?
So they're naming something after Nugget Rees, but they still won't name anything after me. Is that what you're saying?
Wow, we're still pushing for that, KG.
We're going for the media centre for you.
Yeah, we're still pushing for that.
Bloody Pete. I'll be naming something after Rocco Bloody Ritchudo before they name something after me. I heard they're renaming the Gavin Wanganeen stand. They're naming it after Keith Bradshaw's buddy dog.
They're not.
Well, unbloody believable.
Disrespectful, please.
Oh, shut up. They're disrespectful, me. Buddy, exactly. I bloody hate them. Can't wait to get on the board.
All
bye.
Right, wrong side of the bed this morning there, KG. Hey, coming up next, we're going to hear from Ruin Ditzer's Angels, all thanks to Chibo.
Your 2017 is about to change.
2017 will be absolutely ginormous.
With Ruin Dit's massive package. You and your mates at Adelaide Oval for the Gunners. Danny Green and Anthony Mundine.
Chock thinks he's the best. I think I'm better than Chock.
The one day.
The Adelaide Oval's gone off.
And the end centre for Springsteen. Green Day. And Seinfeld. Win tickets to all of them. Listen every hour on the hour. Tomorrow from 7 a.m. Triple M.
Should Faf be allowed to play in the Adelaide Test? We're talking about the South African captain ball tampering. Is it okay to ball tamper? Who you got on the blower?
Let's go to Port Wellunga. G'day, Ashley.
Hello, how you going, Ruth?
We're pretty good. What do you think? Should he be suspended or not?
Yeah, I definitely think he should, because this is the second time now. And the fact that the AFL players, when I've heard South Africa are going to appeal it, so I've heard that if the AFL players appeal their suspensions, they usually get more games. So let them appeal it, and if they do appeal it, give him 2 games.
Yeah, well, I think he should just be suspended full stop, shouldn't he? Especially second offence. You've been warned.
Yeah.
Let's go to Happy Valley. G'day, Pete.
Hey, g'day, boys. No, I've got to disagree. I was actually listening to Alan Border, Stuart Clark and Mark Waugh last night on it, and they reckon it's over the top.
Really?
Absolutely.
Why fine him at all then? It should be one or the other, shouldn't it?
Mark Waugh made the point. Is what, you're going to tell players they can't chew gum, that they can't put hair product in their hair? You know, that sort of stuff's going to happen. And you look at the changes in the game, it's all been in favour of the batsman. You know, the bats are bigger. You know, batsmen can change their stance, from, left hand to right hand, mid ball. You know, bowlers can't exactly go from over the wicket to around the wicket. You know, it's, I don't know.
But they are legal changes, those ones. This is illegal, isn't it?
Yeah, well, maybe they need to look at it, because maybe 40 years ago players didn't use hair product, but now they do, hello, Michael Clark. You know, things have changed, and there's got to be stuff that gets on your hand.
Very good call, actually, Peter.
We'll get rid of it then.
Mark Waugh does make
don't
a good point.
Don't find them then.
What can you have in your mouth? Do you have to get checked? Are you chewing gum, sir, before you bowl or
is
whatever?
Is it Hubba Bubba or is it a peppermint?
That's right.
Righto, let's go to Christie's Beach. G'day, Michael.
Hi, boys.
What do you think, Michael?
Got a couple of quick ones. One, I think he should be rubbed out because it is blatantly cheating. But if we did go down Barry Richardson's road at the present moment, we'd be scratching to get 120. If we...
Gee whiz.
Well, if they're saying that it's a batsman's paradise, well, maybe go back to the old ways where you actually had uncovered pitches instead of dropping in the highways that they do.
Now that's interesting. Because you know that story, don't you, Rui? I mean, Don Bradman, not only is his record ridiculous, but uncovered wickets. Now that means all sorts of conditions, all sorts of things used to happen to pitchers overnight and whatever. So Michael makes another very, very good point. And the other thing I just
don't
thought of too is...
Don't let use the bigger bats and all that either.
I think that's a good thing to bring up.
Give him more new balls or...
Yeah. It's all right for Barry Richards to say that because he can bat. He can face anything.
He can
let the bowlers tamper with the ball. Barry Richards would still make 100.
Yeah,
that's the difference.
He was.
We've got a call coming in. Hello, good morning.
Hi, Dad, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to warn you, if we have another baby and it's a boy, I'm calling it Faff, all right? Faff Ricciuto. Yeah, because it's my pick, so screw you.
All right. Thanks, love.
Yeah, go with that.
Faff.
Mm. Righto. 6:50, Roo and Dits for breakfast. Hey, Roo, you know, we touched on this earlier in the week. Adele is coming to Adelaide. Mm-hmm. Do you like Adele?
Hello.
Oh, listen to this voice.
It's me.
She is magnificent, I reckon. Mm. Absolutely brilliant.
Sounds like, is that what Kate listens to, or do you listen to it?
We do it together.
Do you?
Yes.
In the lounge room?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes, on the beanbag. Now, we were told that some tickets, the scalps were asking $5,000 for tickets.
$5,000?
Yeah, but I have heard that overnight here in Adelaide, $2,600. These are the
one ticket.
Mm. Now we don't actually have scalpers here, but I think this must be online. People are putting these on.
We don't have scalpers.
No, but I mean, if you, standing outside events. If you're in, say, London, for example, yeah, every major event you go to, there's the old. They're funny. Hello, Gav. You want to go? When you go to the Stones End, do you? Yeah, I got two tickets, $500. $500 near yours, mate. Outside every event, and they're all over you. They go, all right, $490. $490.
Well, it's not illegal to do it there.
No,
ticket, so they can just blatantly yell it out. Here, you got to do it undercover, don't you?
Happened to me once. I was walking along the street, and this bloke was all over me. Wouldn't let me go. He said, "Van Morrison's in town, mate. He's a legend. He's a legend. Van Morrison, you got to buy tickets for you. Yeah, two tickets, $300." I said, "Mate, I was actually just on my way home." He goes, "All right, $295. And in the end, I went, "Gee, Van Morrison, he's a bit of a
You've
legend.
Been done, haven't you?"
So I bought bought these tickets and went in. It was the worst concert I'd ever been to. Van Morrison, who is a legend, and I love Van Morrison. And Van's come on stage and raced through all of his songs, even his slow ballads, played him 100 miles an hour, did not say one word to the crowd, then walked off. And I went, "All right, $300 for that. That was good."
Yeah. Oh, you copped him on a bad night.
I did. He was in a bad mood.
I thought you were going to say he got done for scalping or something.
No. But anyway, if you want to go and see Adele,
so the tickets were $300 each, but they're going for here $5,600 in Perth. Someone's offering to pay, and a couple of grand in Brisbane, and only $1,300 in Sydney.
Yeah. That's big dough to see Adele.
It is.
Hope she sings in tune.
Wouldn't you fly to Sydney if you're from Perth?
Yeah, you would. That's right. Yeah.
Big money.
How much would you pay, Roo? Who's your favourite? AC/DC, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Or
what would you go up to? What would you pay?
$500.
Per ticket?
Yep.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Yeah, tops.
Mm-hmm. Tight ass.
Oh, well, you can get a corporate box in Adelaide for $500. Well, what would you pay more than that?
Yeah, fair point. That's why you're a businessman, Roo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Coming up next, the massive package. If you're ringing right now, 133353, you can win tickets to all of those great events that we've been talking about. Ring now for the massive package.
Hello.
7:08, Roo and Dits for breakfast. 22 degrees today. It's 11 at the moment. A little bit chilly this morning when I got out of the cot. It was a bit of a cold start of the day. A lot of fog up in the hills. A bit of frost.
Would have been colder if you got up at the right time.
Yeah, I was a little bit late this morning. I knew you'd say that. Yeah, all right. Well, bloody hell.
I slept
through the alarm. Mm. All thanks to Chibo this morning. Download their app and you go into the running to win a Ferrari 360 Spider. I can't believe that. That's an incredible prize. Almost as good as the massive package, really. And when you download the app, you can pre-order your coffees as well. Tell me about this lad in Bali, Roo.
Well, schoolies, Perth lad, he's only 18, head over to Bali, had a very big night, looked like he was a cactus on a bench, and the cops have gone and got him up and searched him and found a little bag that looked like it contained, well, they're saying, either cocaine or heroin.
Yep.
You don't want to get caught in Bali with either of those. We know that. He's saying it's not his, but highly likely it is, I think.
I don't do this. Only drink. I don't know.
No.
I swear to God.
What are you doing? It's not mine.
Okay.
Sounds like he's had a few too.
Yeah. Now, I think we can confirm he does drink. Yeah, we can confirm that. Let's hear from the police officer.
What we look in is people who bring a knife, who bring drugs. I must protect this place from the drugs.
Now, Roo, you've been to Bali. I've been there once. There's a couple of issues coming out of this. We'll address the lad in just a moment, how stupid he is, if he is guilty of this. But what about the fact that the time I went, now, as you know, I've got two boys, and at the time they were late teens, I reckon, when we were there. So they went out every night to nightclubs, and they came home and said to me, we got offered that many drugs. Yeah. It was ridiculous. Out the front of every nightclub, there are people standing on the footpath. Now, you're telling me, and they're all locals, you're telling me the police don't know that all of these fellas are standing there selling drugs day and night?
Dust. If they're serious about cleaning it up,
well, that's right.
They'd clean all them up first.
So why do they turn a blind eye to that?
Well, then there's only people bringing stuff into Bali that they have to be concerned about. But I would say 99% of people that are on drugs in Bali are getting it from the bloke outside the nightclub.
Well, everyone knows it.
Yeah, I know. Well, you get offered it everywhere over there. But I think the thing we're interested in, Dits, is the fact that how nerve-wracking would it be as a parent if your kids are going to Bali?
Mm.
I mean, it's about, we had a chat about this the other day. I mean, Victor Harbour's very well organised now, and as safe as probably it can be. Really,
do you know the best thing for me as a parent is that I went to Victor Harbour. Because I was keen to drive my kids down there both times rather than let them go in a car.
Yeah, because the road's a bit dangerous.
And
too.
When I got there, and I was really scared and apprehensive. I thought, what are my kids going to get up to? And the best thing I did was go there and see firsthand what happens. There were that many volunteers and helpers, and there were police everywhere, and it really put my mind at ease. And sure, some kids can still get into trouble if they want to, but it actually made me feel a lot better by going there and seeing it.
Yep.
Why would you let your kids fly to Bali or to Byron Bay?
Maybe
you
got no
Gold
choice
Coast
with some of the kids. Maybe when they hit 18, now they say, Dad, I'm going. You know, like if you haven't got that relationship.
You got a choice.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Look, you'd think most parents would have a fair say over it, but there'd certainly be a percentage of them that might not.
The old story when kids say to you, Roo, and I can't tell everyone listening how to handle their kids, but when your kids go, I'm 18 now, I can do what I like, and I say, and where do you live? And who pays the bills? And who feeds you? Mm. And who lends you their car and whatever?
Yep.
So make the choice.
Yeah, I understand. But if they were going to Bali, you'd have to have a chat to them about all the dangers, wouldn't you? And maybe they've had the chat and that just when they're blind drunk, they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But it must be horrendous. You wouldn't sleep for a couple of days as a parent, would you?
Nah. Our own Alice the Wag, actually, I wouldn't mind asking her about this. She can come in the next break, perhaps, quickly. She went to Byron Bay for schoolies when she was a kid.
Yeah,
Gold Coast, imagine the wag loose in Byron Bay. Bloody hell.
Yeah, well,
that is frightening.
I'd rather be there than in Bali as an 18-year-old running amok, but it must be horrible for a parent that weekend. And, I mean, it's the start of plenty of weekends.
I'm keen to know what our parents listening and grandparents listening think about this. Sending your kids to Bali or to Byron Bay or to the Gold Coast for schoolies, surely this is a bit over the top, isn't it? Isn't it?
They do that a lot, though, don't they? Heaps of Victorians and that go to Gold Coast. I mean, I don't even know how many South Australians would go up there. Would there be a fair few going?
There might be.
Might even be going to Bali.
Have your kids gone there? I'm keen to know. 133353. Would you let them go there? 133353. Hey, just before we move on, Julie Bishop has just spoken out about this as well. This young lad in Bali.
Our Consul General in Bali has been in contact with the young man and we are arranging to visit him today. So our consular officials will be making arrangements to visit him. As your reporter said, under Indonesian law, people can be held for 3 days while an investigation is taken out, and then if they are considered a suspect, they can be held for a further 3 days. And then a decision is made whether to arrest or not. In the meantime, our consular officials from Canberra have been in touch with his family in Perth, and we're providing whatever advice and support that we're able to do in these circumstances. But this is an opportunity for me to say again that if you're travelling overseas, you have to remember that once you leave Australia, you leave the Australian legal system, you leave the support system here, and you are subject to the laws of another country. And in the case of Indonesia, the laws can be very harsh for offences or activities in Australia that might seem minor.
Julie Bishop, so this raises the other issue too, Roo. We've now got consular staff all over Indonesia, or not all over, but in Bali, helping this kid.
Yeah, well, he's assisting the young fella. He thought the exams were tough. Yeah. 3 days in Bali jail might take his life experience to a new level.
But I'm just wondering, look, I know there'll be people listening that come from affluent backgrounds and some that don't, but isn't it a bit extravagant that your kids come to you and go, actually, I'm not going to Victor for schoolies, I'm going to Bali, or I'm going to Byron Bay.
It's probably cheaper to go to Bali than Byron Bay. or Sydney and all that.
Fair enough.
It would be too.
Why, to get on a bus and go to Victor?
No, not Victor, but well, people live different
parents,
lives, don't
I'm
they?
Keen to hear from you at 133353. Is it a bit extravagant? Should your kids be going to Bali or Gold Coast for schoolies?
Well, what would you do? How do you tell your kid to look after himself?
No, I told you, they're not going.
Right,
it's not going. Especially if they live at home, and all most 18-year-olds do now.
What if the parents condone it, though?
No, well, anyway, I can't tell people how to be parents, but I wouldn't be. 133353, give us a call.
Your 2017 is about to change.
2017 will be absolutely ginormous.
With Ruin Did's massive package. You and your mates at Adelaide Oval for the Gunners. Danny Green and Anthony Mundine.
Chock thinks he's the best. I think I'm better than Chock.
The One Day.
The Adelaide Oval's gone off.
And the End Centre for Springsteen. Green Day. And Seinfeld. Win tickets to all of them. Listen every hour on the hour. Tomorrow from 7 a.m. Triple M.
7:20, Ruined It's for breakfast. Heading to Bali. Your kids off to Bali or Byron.
Oh.
Is it a little bit extravagant? Is it over the top?
Bloody nerve-wracking.
You've got six on the way, Roo. Heading to schoolies at some stage.
Not looking forward to that. They can go to a houseboat up the river. Let's go to Fulham Gardens. G'day, William.
G'day, how you going, boys?
Good, William.
What do you think?
Well, look, first of all, my heart goes out for this poor lad if he bought the drugs there or if he bought them with him, whatever. I mean, an 18-year-old boy going through that must be terrifying for him and also for the parents.
It wouldn't be good in the slammer, would it?
No, it would be terrible. But, look, I've had three kids and I didn't allow any of my three kids to go to any of the schoolies. And that's what kind of worked for us. But
how'd that go down when you said that?
Well, I tell you, it went down all right because you got to kind of plan for this. And I planned from my first boy from about 15, kept saying, look, when schoolies comes, you won't be allowed. So by the time schoolies come, he already knew he wasn't going to be allowed and he didn't put up any fuss. And then with the next two, I said, well, I didn't allow my first son, so I can't allow you to go now. It wouldn't be fair for him. So the second one didn't argue. And then the third one, I said, well, you know, the first two didn't go, so I can't let you. And then he worked out all right.
But, did you let him do something, did you, William? Or did you reward him in some way for finishing school?
Yeah, no, absolutely. They got a hotel room. They were all out to have a hotel room in the city. And, you know, and we dropped them off there and then we picked them up the next day. So that was fine and that was a compromise. And, you know, and they all got a trip to Sydney, so that was good, and they stayed with family there. So, you know, it was a compromisation, but, you know, look, there's just too many dangers, I think, that can happen, and I was quite happy that they happened to listen to me, but there was a bit of negotiation and a bit of forward planning, I reckon.
Yeah, good on you, William.
Yeah, well done, William. All right, a couple more calls coming up in just a moment. We'll ask Alice about going to Byron Bay as well.
Ooh, yeah.
Ruined It's thanks to Chivo. 7:25, Ruined It's. We're talking about our kids heading off to Bali and Byron Bay and all these exotic places for schoolies, Roo.
Yeah, let's go to Finn and Michael. What do you think about kids going to Bali?
Oh, look, as far as going to Bali, no, I wouldn't send them to Bali. I've been to Bali a couple of times now and I was chased down by a fella there for a good part of an hour. So, chased me for a good part of an hour, just asking me if I wanted drugs and the type of drugs that he had for sale and this and that and the other. And, it wasn't pleasant. I didn't have a very good first hour in Bali, to be quite honest with you. But having said that, as far as the kids, when they're 18, that's probably the first time I reckon most parents or most kids of that age would be having a holiday on their own. And I still don't think kids these days are streetwise enough because they spend more time at home than they used to when I was growing up and when you guys were probably growing up as well,
yep.
You know?
Yep,
so,
for sure.
I wouldn't, especially where all the stuff goes on in Bali, Chappelle Corby and all the other guys and that have been over there. You think we would learn from that, but hey, you know, each to their own.
Good on you, Michael. Let's go to Para Hills. Good morning, Neville.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good, Neville.
Good, Nev.
I wouldn't send my children to Bali.
You're right, Nev.
This upsets me a bit because I don't know, Roo, if you remember that young lad at Wake who got hit with the semi trailer a couple of years ago.
No, I don't actually.
Just go onto YouTube, guys. Every parent should watch this. My son made a documentary. Dylan Ellis Desire. Just watch it. Everybody watch it. My son is a responsible boy. He went to Victor Harbour. Obviously got on the booze and all sorts of things. He doesn't take drugs. Come home, 10Ks from Wakery. He come home early to try and go to do his job in the afternoon. Fell asleep and went straight under a B double truck.
Shit.
He died a couple of times. Broke his neck. He was paralysed. He got back on the road again, and he's got a job now. He's doing some video work. But, hell, to send your child to Bali and something happened over there, as from what we went through, just kill you. It's just horrible. Mm. So if everyone was to watch Dylan Ellis' Desire...
That'll be a good lesson in it, you think, Nev?
No, it'd be a great lesson. It cuts me up, but I wouldn't like to see it, other kids...
Oh, thanks for giving us a call, Nev, and we feel for you there, man. That must be as bad as it gets.
Incredibly hard. Mm. I want to talk to Alice about this. Alice the Wag, now you're in your 20s now. You're grown up. But when you left school, where did you go?
We went up to Byron Bay.
Now, why did you go to Byron Bay?
Because everybody does it. In Melbourne, it's just a thing to do.
Right. Yep. So all Victorians go there?
Correct.
So there's no schoolies in Victoria?
No, not really. Some people go down to Lawn and stuff.
Yeah.
But Byron is really the place to go.
And so what was the attitude of your mum and dad?
My big brother had been 2 years later, so he kind of said to them, it's okay to let her go.
Earlier.
Byron is a really safe place. I think if I didn't have my brother going before me, they would have been a bit more hesitant.
Yeah.
But it's a really tough one because it's the first time that you have your independence as a kid. You know, you've finally finished exams, you're 18, you're allowed to drink. So I think if my parents had have said to me, you're not allowed to go, it would have made me want to go more and I would have gone. Because they can't stop you, really.
Well, they can.
How?
I still maintain they can.
How?
Because you're living at home with them.
But they're not going to kick me out to go to schoolies.
Like, no, but it's their house, and so it's their rules.
Yeah, but it would have created the biggest riff. And it's like, if I'm not allowed to go to schoolies, like if I don't deserve, I've worked so hard through my high school and got the score I wanted, and I'm not allowed to go to schoolies, at what stage are they going to start trust me? Because they should have educated me, and so I'm responsible enough to be there.
All right.
Why would they not
so,
let me go?
Tell me about Byron. How was it for you? Was it a good
experience?
It was
amazing. So safe. We had the best time. I was with a group of girls that we all trusted each other. We all kind of looked out for each other. We knew the guys there with us.
Did
it
any
was
of the
totally
parents
safe.
Go up and just be in Byron? No, any of you guys,
no,
obviously?
No, not at all. No, and I went to a private school girl, so a lot of the girls were very sheltered, you know, didn't have older siblings, and they were all allowed to go. But having said that, if I had have said I wanted to go to Bali, mum and dad would have said, no way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even now, I'm 25, I live in a different state to my parents. If I said to mum and dad I want to go to Bali, they would say, dream on. Even
so,
if I was paying for it and everything.
Hang on. So therefore, if they say, no, you're not going, then what do you do? You're 25. So go back to what we said a
then
minute ago.
Then I feel
ago.
Really guilty and I don't go.
Oh, right.
No, I just, yeah.
So you're allowed to go on a month trip through Europe.
Yeah, but I just think Bali's a whole different kettle of fish.
All right.
Yeah.
Good discussion. Interesting
good discussion.
Stuff. Yes. All right. Ruined It's for Breakfast.
The Ruined It's for Breakfast catch-up sounds better with a coffee. Save time and pre-order your coffee now on the new Chibo app. 104.7 Triple M.
7:34, Ruined It's for Breakfast, being a Wednesday, not far away from a brand new episode of At Home with the Ricciutos.
Bob Catter wants to start culling crocodiles up in Queensland.
Does he?
Yes, he does. Reckons there's too many and... Terry Irwin's very against that. She's obviously on the crocodile side, but
right.
I don't give a stuff what Terry's going on about.
So the wife of
people
Steve
are
Irwin.
Dying and getting eaten and ripped to bits.
Mm.
So keep your opinions to yourself.
Kind of like our argument with sharks a little bit. Very similar, isn't it?
It is.
All right. We've got a call coming through. 133353. Hello.
Yeah, g'day. It's Bob Catter here.
Hey, Bobby.
The federal independent member of bloody Parliament. Look, hey, that bloody Irwin family's crazy, you know that, don't you?
Why?
We've got these damn bloody crocodiles ripping everybody to pieces. She wants more and more of those damn creatures crawling around looking for some poor human to drag in the water and stuff under a submerged log till they decompose. Listen, that Terry Irwin loves them. And she suggested they get a crocodile. You know, she loves them so much she wanted one on Dancing with the Stars. I wonder if she's against culling stingrays. That's what I'm about. Well, knowing her, she probably is. In fact, they've probably got a bloody pet stingray at home. Little collar around its neck sitting on the lounge room rug.
No,
hey,
know.
They call it Steve. All right, listen. Anyway, I think it's garbage, and I hate those. But I wouldn't mind seeing them all wiped out. Frankly, what difference would it make to us? Nothing.
Right, eh?
It's a good point. You've got to admit I'm full of good points. Yeah. I've got to go now. I've got to go and steam clean my hat.
Right, eh? Yeah, nice hat he wears, too. There you go. That's Bob
Mad
Tatter.
Bob.
Mad Bob. Hey, in a moment, Roo, frightening. We fly a lot, don't we, in our job? Terrible things happen over in Amsterdam. We're going to talk about that in just a moment.
Triple M Breakfast with Mark Rusciutto and Chris Tittmar. The Ruined It's for Breakfast catch-up sounds better with a coffee. Save time and pre-order your coffee now on the new Chibo app. 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, 7:41, Ruined It's for Breakfast. Roo, you and I fly a bit, certainly during footy season.
Yep.
We have to go to the interstate games, and over the years I've flown a lot, and, you know, I shudder when I hear stories like this, and I never, ever watch that TV show, you know, Air Crash Investigators. No. I just do not want to know, and it turns me off. What happened over there in Amsterdam overnight?
Oh, they've had a bit of a storm over there. It's even got its own name, the storm. Storm Angus has been over in Amsterdam, and a couple of planes had a bit of trouble landing. A big A380, which is the world's biggest passenger plane, had to come in with crosswinds and sort of come in on the angle. I think they call it the crab landing technique, which is used quite a bit. And if you're, you know, obviously a reasonably good pilot or a pilot or experienced pilot, they can handle that technique quite fine. But it looks really dangerous as they're coming in. It landed okay and jumped around a little bit with the crosswind. But another plane come in and hit the ground and didn't look very comfortable at all. And the pilot actually decided then to take off again after
going
it hit
around
the ground.
Again.
So smacked the ground and then went straight back up. Now,
no.
You would think that would be dangerous for lots of different reasons if he got the timing wrong to go back up for starters. But what if there was other planes? You know, I mean, there are heaps of planes in the sky around Amsterdam.
Oh, and, very busy, you would think.
That
yeah.
If it was a last-minute decision to keep going or to take off again and air traffic control didn't know, you know, that you would think that potentially could be a little bit of danger there. But it just looked horrible. And I know for myself, I was coming into Adelaide one day, coming back from Queensland, and it was as rough as anything coming. And I reckon the last half an hour we were getting not thrown around the plane, but it was really, really rough. And we had to keep circling Adelaide for a while because it was too rough to come in. He decided to take a punt and come in. And, you know, it was as bad as it can get, as bad as I've ever had. And he was going down to land. Everyone's, you know, holding onto the seats in front of him, got their seatbelts on, just hoping to get on the land and get out of the plane and live our lives. Anyway, we come down. I reckon we felt like a metre from the runway. And then all of a sudden he's just flattened it and gone straight back up in the air and taken off again. So very similar to what happened over there, except we didn't touch the ground, but it felt like we were metres away from it. And then, of course, when you take off, you're going, oh, no, what's going to happen here? And then you have to go for another loop for about 20 or 30 minutes, rough as guts again. And we end up getting home safely, obviously. But I hate flying these days.
Yeah.
I do not look forward to it at all anymore. And there's been a few pranks around the last, 5 years or so. And I don't know. I just try and avoid it anymore. I'm a bit worried.
Oh, yeah?
So when I see stuff like that, and I would never watch the TV show.
It's not good watching those.
You know, I'd rather not know about the close encounters.
It's funny over the years, two people that spring to mind for me. KG, if there's one little bump up there. Whoa, what's going on? What's going on?
We flew into Lincoln for the Lincoln Cup.
And the other one's Bruce Abernathy. Well, he has, and I'm not trying to say he gets blind, but he has quite a few brandies just to get on a plane.
Greg Ritchie.
Same. Yes, Greg Ritchie, the same. And he's had issues on a plane because he's had too many brandies. You're right.
Yeah.
But it's funny. I've always felt if turbulence doesn't actually worry me that much because, you think we're not going to fall out of the sky. I reckon when I will panic is when I hear the engines go. When
smoke
they go
in
off,
the cabin or
yeah,
something
like that.
That.
Turbulence, I'm not too bad. Yeah. As long as I can still hear the engines going, I think, we should be all right.
Oh, there'd be some horror stories out there of different flights that people have been on. I reckon we should take some calls, Dits, and see.
The other thing, inside a cabin when you can have a bad flight, I think I told you this before, but my brother, my older brother, was sitting on a plane not that long ago, and a girl threw up all over him.
Beautiful.
I don't know why, but she turned sideways to do it. Instead of just going forwards into a bag or whatever, she turned and looked at him. And went bang all over his shirt.
Oh,
and
no.
It was huge. It was massive.
Oh.
And he had to sit there I just laughed thinking about it. He had to sit there, and the hosties came and tried to, you know, towel it off him or whatever. And oh my God, poor bloke. Anyway.
Yeah, you're pretty happy with it.
No, it was good. Anyway, bad flights. Anything happened to you? Any emergency landings or anything like that? And I'm keen to hear from, if there's a pilot listening, how safe are we? When we come down and you have to go around again or anything like that, surely we are pretty safe, aren't we?
Yeah.
These guys know what they're doing.
Well, hopefully.
Jeez. Yeah. But tell us about any situations you've been in. 133353, keen to hear from you. 7:51 it is, 12 degrees outside, looking for 22 today. We're talking about planes, Roo.
Horror airplanes. Flights.
Yes.
Let's go to Golden Grove. G'day, Steve.
How you going?
Have you had a bad flight?
Yeah, out of Parafield, actually. It was. We were taking a little flight. We're going to take the girls over to have dinner on Kangaroo Island for Valentine's Day.
Oh, you're and, nice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, got all dressed up, went out there, got in the plane, took off, got about 1,500 metres up in the air, and then because we didn't have any luggage for the night, the guys didn't secure the front of, like, the bonnet and push it down.
Oh!
But about 1,500 metres, it flew off and bounced across the top of the plane and then fell off.
Oh, no.
Shit.
So the pilot starts screaming, "Mayday, mayday, mayday," into the radio, and that's when you know you're in deep.
Hell, mayday, mayday.
And we're coming in for an emergency landing, so they had all the fire trucks out and everything. He did a quick circle and then brought it down. It was a pretty bumpy ride, but
hell,
we managed to get on the ground. But
how long ago was this, Steve?
Oh, this was a few years ago.
Did it change your flying for you? Like, are you okay
flying now? Yeah, I hate small planes. I don't like big planes either because I always think of, you know, the stress fractures in the steel or the mechanic who had a bad night with his missus last night and left his spanner in the bloody engine. So I always think like that. But I think I'm like you, Ditz. Once you're up and you're going flat, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's the going up and the coming down that worries me.
What'd you do for Valentine's Day lunch?
Oh, bloody hell. We ended up with... they said they'll get us another plane, but, you know, none of us were really all that keen.
Wouldn't have a local for lunch, would you?
We ended up with a bloody Chinese dinner in the city.
Good on you. Well, it all ended well. Good on you, Steve. More calls in just a moment. 133353.
Triple M.
7:56, ruined it for breakfast. We are talking, I don't know, it's a topic I just hate going near, Roo, but horror flights.
Yeah, let's go to Gawler. G'day, Andrew.
Yeah, g'day, mate. How you doing?
Oh, what have you experienced?
Yeah, we were coming back. We had a bad flight back from Hawaii. We were 3 hours delayed on the ground there for a technical issue, and then we got up in the sky, and about 3-4 hours into the flight, so we sort of noticed that the plane was sort of leaning a little bit, so I reckon by that time we'd already lost one engine. And then there are 3 or 4 of these red lights on the overhead consoles light up, and that attracts the flight crew, and they go to their own private phones, and they're back towards you as they're answering the call, obviously, from the captain. When they turned around, one of the stewardesses, she was already crying.
Oh, God.
And not a good start.
No.
And then the lad on the other side, he was as white as a sheet.
Mm.
They resumed their chairs, they folded themselves in, and we were advised to do the same. There's no collection of any of the rubbish on the ground or nothing like that. It was just completely and utterly... strap in, it could be a rough one, and then the captain came on and said, "Oh, we're making an emergency landing." And I looked out the window and there's no land. I thought, this could be even worse.
Crikey.
Yeah, and then we came into to Fiji to land, and there was no problems with landing there. Whatever was, we made it down. And but when you look at the service facilities and the fire engines and things like that, I think there was one. And it, only just come up from the horse-drawn era, I would have thought.
Yeah.
it wouldn't have really put us out, I wouldn't have thought. So.
No. Not a good feeling. Not a good feeling if you're sitting up there for a while thinking, where are we going to land?
Let's go to Paralawi. Brenton.
G'day. I thought I'd tell my story. The same place in Amsterdam. I was in a little KLM City Hopper, little propeller plane, going from Amsterdam to Bristol, and... 19 years old, first time overseas by myself, and it reminded me when Dit said, you know, you're flying with turbulence until the engine's cut out, because I was sitting on the window seat and you just hear the
what?
And then I'm looking out and then it just goes silent I'm looking out and the propeller's not moving, and then it's just, it feels like, you know, half an hour, but it was actually like a few seconds, and then boom, it just starts up again. And not knowing then, you know, that could be a normal thing, you know, when they have a problem, they sometimes shut down and sort of reboot the engine sort of thing. But when you're... When you're overseas in the middle of the air and by yourself.
Did the pilot say anything?
No. It's just an instant shutdown, and then, you know, it could be 5-10 seconds later, it just restarts itself up, and then you just continue on. But
I wouldn't be happy with that at all. Especially if you've just been to Amsterdam as well.
Thanks, Brent.
Let's go to Hackham. G'day, Josh.
Hey, go, boys.
What have you been through?
Look, I just quickly, as part of the story, I won a trip with 12 Ralph models to Queensland.
How can that be a horror flight? Come on.
And anyway, we've left Adelaide. We're heading into Brisbane. Just as we're coming in, it was blowing a gale. And we're coming down. And
you
weren't
blowing?
No. The plane was going side to side as we were coming in. Now, I hate flying. I was, We've come down, and just as you thought you were going to hit the tarmac, we got a big gust of wind, and the plane just kicked out on its side. Next minute, the pilot just takes us straight back up again. You should have seen the old lady next to me. It was not good.
On a plane full of Ralph models, you get to sit next to an old lady. That is the worst flight you could ever experience.
She was an old Ralph model.
Good on you, Josh.
Let's go to McGill. G'day, Mark.
How you going, boys?
What do you got for us?
A couple of years ago, me and my wife were on a honeymoon in America, and we went for a flight from New York to Hawaii, and we had to go via Las Vegas. It was on a budget carrier. About an hour in, the storm hit, and the plane was literally dropping out of the air every 20 minutes.
Oh, no.
And everyone was screaming, like the people with their hands up in the air.
God.
I looked to my wife, and I pretty much said, this is it, we're gone.
Oh, no.
We're finished. That's it. Well, we end up getting there, and all was well, I think.
Yeah, no, you comforted her well through that. That was good.
Yeah, really courageous.
Yeah, she looked across
there
and said, I need a good, strong husband. Yeah. That's great.
No, we'll be right.
Yeah. Anyway, hey, ring now for the pack. Thanks for those calls, by the way.
Yep.
Ring now for the massive package, 133353.
Your 2017 is about to change.
2017 will be absolutely ginormous.
With Brew and Did's massive package. You and your mates at Adelaide Oval for the Gunners. Danny Green and Anthony Mundine.
Chock thinks he's the best. I think I'm better than Chock.
The one day.
The Adelaide Oval's gone off.
And the end centre for Springsteen. Green Day. And Seinfeld. Win tickets to all of them. Listen every hour on the hour. Tomorrow from 7 a.m. Triple M. Triple M. Guns N' Roses. Bruce Springsteen. Green Day. Danny Green versus Mundine. Jerry Seinfeld. The One Dayer. Ruined It's massive package.
It is so big.
Ginormous massive package. It really is. Rock, sport and comedy, Roo.
Yep.
And if you win it in the end, you take a couple of mates along to all of these. We do it on the hour, every hour. Put someone on the standby list. Who have you got there first?
We have got Charlie from Plimpton Park. G'day, Charlie.
G'day. How you going, fellas?
Yeah,
good, Charlie.
Good, mate. What's your favourite out of this whole package, Charlie? Which one do you like?
Oh, probably all of them, I reckon.
All of them. Good stuff.
Should be a big 2017, Charlie, if you're the lucky winner.
Beautiful.
All right.
Here we go. Which letter is the name of Bruce's band?
So we're talking a? Bruce Springsteen.
No, that is incorrect. A.
Hard words.
Bad luck, Charlie.
Bad luck, Charlie.
Let's go to Dave from Port Broughton. G'day, Dave.
G'day. How are you, boys?
Which letter is the name of Bruce's band?
B.
B?
No.
No, not B for Bruce.
The offer should go off straight away. Come on, this is an easy one.
Let's go to Port Adelaide. G'day, Karen.
How you going?
Good. What's the band, Karen?
E. E Street.
Well done.
Yeah, well done, Karen.
Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. Well done, Karen. There you go.
People big down Bruce the port. Fan, Karen. No, she's gone.
Yes,
that's right.
I am.
Oh,
I
you
am,
are. Yeah. You're still there. Good on you.
People down the port know their music, Root. All right, good on you, Karen. You're on the standby list for the massive package coming up in 2017. Up next,
At home with a Ricciuto.
And all thanks to Chibo. Download the app today. You can pre-order your coffees. Also, you can win a Ferrari Spider.
Woo-hoo.
The Ruined It's for Breakfast catch-up sounds better with a coffee. Save time and pre-order your coffee now on the new Chibo app. 104.7 Triple M.
8:12 it is on a Wednesday morning, 13 degrees outside, top of 22 today, mostly sunny, being a Wednesday at this time. We say good morning, Blakey.
Hi. I was going to talk about Tori Shepherd's article in the paper today about homeopathy and what a scam and a fraud it is, but then Matt O'Reilly just sent me this from KG, from Dead Set Legends from a couple of weeks ago, which I hadn't heard, and it needs to be played on the air again.
Okay.
So, yeah.
He's gone to another level. Now, you can't... As part of the context, I think, with any AFL club, if an assistant coach gets a head job, the same as Alan Richardson at St Kilda, you can't stand in there once.
As far as a key coaching role, that is.
Yeah, of course you can't.
No. I'm not
Red
sure.
Red England had to clarify.
Yeah, Red had to take care of it. I don't know if KG does that on purpose or not.
No, I don't think so.
Well, I don't know. He might be scamming us. Like a homeopathy person. Anyway, I won't go into...
What connection did you just draw there? We're talking homeopathy.
No, I was just... No connection at all. Right. I was going to talk homeopathy, and then Matt sent me that, so it overshadowed that the homeopathy, because I've been wanting to rail against homeopathy for a long time. But
you
I
want
me
to ask what that is?
No, don't want you to. But you can buy it in your chemist. But don't, because it's a fraud. The pageant was on the weekend before last, and...
What was that article about?
Homeopathy.
Right.
Oh, there it is. You've dialed. And I like to promote Tori because she writes good articles and I like the gap between her teeth.
Oh, what?
It's cute. Anyone with a gap can write a good article in my book.
Righto.
I don't agree with everything she says, but that one's a good one. It's a pity it's in today's paper. Pity that she's only got that much space to write because she didn't go into it far enough, but it's right. It's true. It's
so you're telling everyone to buy the paper to read it. You're not going to give them a little heads up about it?
I can't be bothered now. Okay. It's too much time gone. But you're not going to listen to this. You're just going to read that while At Home's on.
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
We listen intently to what you do.
Pageant was on a couple of weeks ago, weekend before last. And, of course, I put the Christmas tree up because you're allowed to after the pageant in South Australia. That's when and my tree is a triumph, by the way, a triumph of tree decorating technique, just quietly. it's an institution, the pageant, South Australia, as we know. And some people say you need to be in one to appreciate it. But it can be very stressful for parents having to take their kids to stand there all bloody day with three kids on your head. And some parents do use clever parenting techniques so they never have to bother with the stress of pageant day, which is
good
clever.
Fun making them, but it's bloody hard looking after them.
At Home with the Ricciutos.
Hello, Daddy.
Hello, everybody.
Daddy.
Yes.
What's a pageant?
A pageant?
Yeah, pageant.
It's a bunch of people dressed up stupidly walking through the street waving to you.
Why are they waving?
Nobody really knows.
Why are they walking through the street?
Well, some of them don't walk. They ride on the back of a big truck, which is also dressed up stupidly.
Do they wave as well?
Yeah, they all wave to us too.
Wow. But why would we be there?
Well, we'd all be standing there watching them.
Watching them walk down the street?
Yep.
Why?
Yeah, why?
Because people think that's fun.
It sounds boring.
Yeah.
They even put it on TV.
What for?
So if you can't be there to watch, you can watch it on TV.
So if we can't get to the street to watch them walking down the street, we can stay at home and watch them walk down the street.
That's right.
Daddy's telling lies because he's funny.
Yeah.
I'm not telling lies. That's what happens every year.
Daddy, no.
It bloody does. And they have two well-known newsreaders talking about it on the TV.
Talking about people walking down the street?
That's right.
Waving?
Yes.
Daddy, we've heard a rumour.
Yeah.
No, we haven't picked up Ben Jarman under the father son.
No, a disturbing rumour.
Oh, what's the rumour?
My sources tell me that there's been some sort of pageant in Adelaide.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you haven't taken us to see it.
No.
Right.
And we're all here to say...
Yeah.
Thank you, Daddy.
Good work, buddy.
You're a very, very clever parent.
I thought you were going to put me in it there.
No, because they haven't been to the pageant, have they?
Not with me.
Keep them in the dark. What's the problem with it? Won't hurt them. What they don't know.
Oh, that's terrible. You can't do that.
Why?
Because.
They won't miss it.
They'll just drop.
When they get to 35, they say, Dad, you never told us about this pageant.
Yeah, we went to the pageant.
Did you?
Yeah.
Mm. What? Have a good time.
Tell us about it.
No, it's horrible.
It's like awful. It's horrible. Disrupts the bloody
traffic. No, it's good. The kids love it. It's not about us.
No,
it's the kids.
That's right. Kids.
The thing is, my only gripe is you have to get there so early. And the kids can't wait for hours and hours, but they have to. And they get agitated. And
then they
that's
don't
the
like
hardest
it.
Part.
Parents hate it. And, yeah, kids do
there
like
needs to be sort. Like the reserves. You need something beforehand for the 3 hours. How do you keep your kids amused? We'll send someone down, you know, to kick the dew off the grass before, if you know what I mean.
If you burn outs or something like that.
If you burn outs.
I get why the kids like a pageant. What I don't get is adults that say, oh, it's a lifelong dream. Like Michael Keelan said, oh, it's been a lifelong dream of mine to drive the tractor which tows the Christmas tree.
You've got to be
Michael,
kidding.
You're 48 years old. Oh, a lifelong dream.
Oh, God.
Graham Corns was a clown. Bob Francis was a clown in the
Cornsy
pageant.
Corns, he was a clown.
Lifelong
was
dream.
Cornsy in the pageant?
Yes, he was. 1 year, not this year.
Keith Collins in it every year.
Keith Conlon's in it every year. He holds the record, I think. Been in it for 58 years.
Cornsy would have tried to tell him what to do, wouldn't he?
Yeah. No, you don't be a clown like that. You've got to be funny like this. Or coach football. Oh, Cornsy, you know I love you.
He listens every morning, Cornsy.
Does he?
Yes, he does.
To our show?
Yes.
You kidding?
No.
Oh, that's not very loyal, is it?
Well, loyal to who? Oh, he did, just because you work at a station doesn't mean you have to listen to it.
Oh, fair enough.
He's only part time at AA.
Oh, he's a good judge then.
Very good judge.
Absolutely. Well, I didn't say liked it.
He's listened.
Yeah, there's a difference. Yeah. Right. Well, I'm Blakey. 8:18 it is. Thanks to Chivo this morning. 8:25 ruined it for breakfast, Roo. Unfortunately, we're reading bad stories. Well, I say bad story. Another headline about the RAH this morning.
Yeah, generally it's just been about getting delayed a few months and 6 months, 12 months. And now they're talking there's a risk that it might not even open next year. The headline today talks about a $4 billion legal threat. At the moment, $4 billion that taxpayers could be up for. Now, that would have to send us through the hoop. It would have to put us under an enormous pressure. That's what caught my attention, because before, we're looking at the Royal Adelaide Hospital. Now we're thinking, you know, a builder's either going to go broke or someone's going to, some poor bugger's going to go broke. But if the whole state's going to cop a massive bill, that catches your attention. I just don't know where we stand on this, and we need to get an expert on.
We need some legal advice. Patrick Poylan joins us regularly, managing partner at Duncan Bashir Hannon. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning, fellas.
This would be a good contract to get for Duncan Bashir Hannon, I would have thought, to defend this one.
It might be a little bit too much for us to handle all in one hit. I'll need a while to gear up for it, but I'll wait for the call.
Patrick, would $4 billion be too much for the state to handle?
Look, it would be. If the counterclaim is for $4 billion, you've got to look at the legal costs for each party associated with that. Now, a rule of thumb, and it's only a rough rule of thumb, is you'd look at spending up to about 25% of the amount under contest. So in this case, $4 billion, so $1 billion each.
In legal fees.
If you lose, you've say the state goes down for $4 billion, they'll have to pay the other side's legal fees of up to $1 billion. And they would have spent a similar amount themselves. So total bill, maybe $6 billion.
So if this goes ahead, I don't know if we're in a no-win situation here, but they need to avert this before it happens, surely.
Look, I think they'll be under a lot of pressure from their advisors, probably from the courts. I don't want to go speaking for the courts, but I can tell you that in all litigation, the courts are constantly urging us, find another way to sort this out. Do you have to come to court? Do you have to have a trial that will go for years and involve teams of lawyers, get together with the mediators, find out what you agree on, then isolate the things that you don't agree on and find a way to sort them out?
In this article, they're saying it's like the government don't want to sort it out, is sort of what they're suggesting, which does sound a little bit weird.
Yeah, look, I hope that they are working towards finding a solution. We've got a hospital that's almost finished. Whether you think we need it or not, it's a matter of different opinions. But anyway, we're going to end up with two hospitals. Let's get it working as quickly as possible. Let's find a way to accommodate the concerns that the government's got, and also the investors, bearing in mind they want to get a return on the the millions, billions of dollars they've spent down there.
Who's losing the money at the moment? Who's the one that's in real trouble?
I don't know, fellas. I've only know what I read in the papers, but I would think everybody's bleeding money over this at the moment.
I can only presume, Roo, that at the moment the builders haven't been paid. You don't pay for work not done, do you? If you believe it's not up to scratch, which is what I think the government's arguing.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, to the builders, that's not my opinion. I'm just saying that that's clearly what the government is arguing at the moment, because they haven't agreed to open it, have they?
Well, so when you're talking hundreds of millions or billions of dollars, not too many companies can handle that for long.
All right, well, Patrick, put your hand up. It sounds like a good one to get, I reckon.
I'll get on the phone right now.
Good on you, mate. Thank you.
See you later.
There you go. Patrick Boylan, managing partner at Duncan, Bashir, Hannan and Roo. The way he explained that, you'd want to win that court case.
Well, the way he said you wouldn't even want to go into it, you'd want to sort it out beforehand.
Yeah.
Your 2017 is about to change.
2017 will be absolutely ginormous.
With Roo and Did's massive package. You and your mates at Adelaide Oval for the Gunners. Danny Green and Anthony Mundine.
Chock thinks he's the best. I think I'm better than Chock.
The one day.
The Adelaide Oval's gone off.
And the end centre for Springsteen. Green Day. And Seinfeld. Win tickets to all of them. Listen every hour on the hour. Tomorrow from 7 a.m. Triple M.
Now, Roo, we're a bit miffed by this, but South African skipper Faf du Plessis will play in the third test here in Adelaide starting tomorrow.
Sounds like a few cricketers think he should be playing as well.
Yeah.
Well, Mark Waugh and names like that saying, well, what's the difference between that and using hair gel or whatever, bubble gum in your mouth or whatever, but sounds like it's outside the rules to me.
So maybe it's a storm in a teacup.
And second offence.
So he's been fined his match fee in Hobart, but he can play here tomorrow.
Yep.
Hey, what about Dave Warner? He was asked about his new teammate, Renshaw. This is what he had to say.
Dave, can you tell us how much you know about Matthew Renshaw?
Look, I don't know a lot about him. I've heard a few whispers.
Crickets? In cricket.
We've got a call coming through. 133353, hello.
G'day, it's Dave Warner here. How are you?
Good, Dave.
Yeah, when I'm not driving without a seatbelt, I love to sit at home and watch my OLED.
Yeah.
Because the blacks look a lot better on an OLED.
The blacks?
Yeah, the blacks on other TVs look a bit pale, but on the OLED, the blacks look great.
Okay.
Really?
Oh, good.
Who am I opening again with? Who is it?
The other fella.
Gordon Greenwich.
Yeah, Gordon Gencliffe. Yeah, great. Okay,
thanks
don't forget,
for
buy
in,
an OLED.
Dave.
I don't know what an OLED is, but buy one, okay?
Righto, thanks, mate.
The blacks look better on it.
Righto, let's talk footy, Roo.
When was the squad announced for cricket for this test? About 4 or 5 days ago?
Yeah.
Have they had a couple of dinners and fielding practice and batting practice and bowling practice?
He should have run into him at some stage.
I'm not having a go at him, but it sounds unbelievable that you would not know anything about him if you're going to open with him.
But I also think, look, Dave, I'm a big fan of Dave Warner.
I'm a fan of Dave Warner.
If he's listening, as he would be, he'd be listening to us, Roo.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not having a crack at him, but I reckon
you
shouldn't
tell.
Don't tell lies either. But he should almost just go, yeah, no, he's a good lad. He's going to be really good for us. Just make it up. Don't say, oh, actually.
Seriously though, in cricket, could you go into a game and not know anything about your partner?
I think you can.
Really?
Yeah, I think you can. If you went, what about when you went to Ireland playing football for Australia? There would have been lads in that squad that you hadn't met before.
Oh, yeah, but you know all about them. Absolutely. Of course you know all about them.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure he does know about him. Let's not exaggerate this. Right. I'm sure, don't you think? He definitely knows who he is. He knows he's a batsman.
He knows he's a batsman. He's very close.
Anyway, we're digging a bigger hole here.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk a bit of footy. Port Adelaide, Angus Monfries and Charlie Dixon have had minor surgeries.
Yeah, you're all over. It's going downhill already down there.
No, it's not. That's why you do it now. You have your surgery now.
At the end of season.
Well, they needed to do it now. Although, they couldn't get in.
No, Angus only did it last week. So
yeah. No, they'll be right.
They'll be fine.
That's
good. Charlie will be fine.
Yeah. International rules is coming back in 2017.
Yes.
Australia to host Ireland out here.
That's in Australia, is it?
Yeah. So that's where you don't bother playing, isn't it?
A bit sore.
You only play when it's in Ireland.
I've had a long season.
Yeah. Righto. Hey, can I just throw in a dumb comment before we move on, just at the end of sport, because it's a bit of a sporty one. Joel, the McGarry medalist, has just texted me.
Right.
He was at dinner with Alice the Wag last night, and Alice has come up with, if we both run 2.5 Ks, she would actually run further. due to her smaller steps, right?
Oh.
No, she said, and apparently she went on to say, no, there's a theory, but she can't remember what the theory's called, but there is actually a theory that explains this. But you've both run 2.5Ks, but she runs further, right?
Just hope.
Work that out.
I don't know. I thought there was some hope there, but
No, there's none.
There's none.
There's zero. Mm. Anyway, that's our look at sport. Thanks to the Glenelg Golf Club. General and corporate memberships available. Visit now, glenelggolf.com.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M. The Ruined Dits for Breakfast catch-up sounds better with a coffee. Save time and pre-order your coffee now on the new Jibo app. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Jane Doyle, good morning.
Chris Dittmar, this is like old home week.
I know. Amazing.
On so many levels.
How have you been, all right?
I've been very well, thank you. And you?
Yes, very good,
You're
thank you.
You're looking fit.
I'm not trying to age you here. How many years have you been at Channel 7 now?
I'm into my 28th.
28?
I can no longer sort of pretend I'm in my early 30s.
No, what an amazing career. Though.
It's now, been a long one.
The reason you're in, very exciting show tonight, 8:40 on Channel 7, yeah. The Countdown.
Countdown, 10 to 1. What are the top? It's the 60th anniversary, of course, of television in Australia this year, 2016 from 56. So we've decided to take a look as a network at what are the top 10 stories of the last 60 years.
Mm.
Now you immediately go, oh, well. And everybody comes up with a different list.
Mm. I've got to admit, when I saw 9/11, you know, absolutely floored me. And I sat in my lounge chair and I thought, yeah, this is the most life-changing thing I've ever seen.
Mm.
But then you start to list off others and they're they're all equal, aren't they?
In a contemporary sense, and I think one of our presenters says, you know, there's no way in the world that you can't argue. You can't argue that 9/11 didn't change the way we live now.
Mm.
But in the context of 60 years, was the moon landing?
Yeah.
Any bigger?
Mm.
And what came out of that space program and the stuff we live with and the things we have in our contemporary lives now, things like carbon fibre that we just take for granted, that all came about because of the space program. So how do you argue it? And that's really what we're looking for, is to provoke a lot of discussion in lounge rooms wherever you watch your telly.
Yeah. Only a couple of years ago, and talk about being floored and shocked and horrified, and I will never forget Rue arriving at work. Now, we get here at 4 or 4:30 in the morning, and there was clearly something wrong. And I'll never forget, he looked and he said, you'll hear a story this morning that he said it'll be the worst story you'll ever hear in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be the Phil Walsh murder. Now, Rue didn't tell us and he couldn't tell us.
No.
And he told us afterwards, he said, look, I didn't feel it was my responsibility to break that story. Mm. He said it needed to unfold the way it did.
Mm.
And rightly so. He had to think about the family as well, even though we work in this medium. But he didn't tell any of us.
No.
And then later on that morning, it broke on the TV screens here.
Mm.
Well, we were stunned. And again, Jane, 9/11, but to hear what happened to Phil Walsh, I can never, ever, ever forget that. And I just still cannot fathom what happened.
And so that's the important thing about news, I suppose, is it's not just how big the story is, it's often how you relate to it.
Mm.
So people often say to me, what's the biggest news story you've ever covered? And they always expect me to say 9/11. But of course, nobody would have known this at the time, but I was nursing my mother to her death at that time.
Mm.
That story, while it's had a huge impact and it was a part of my professional life, I wasn't able to immerse myself in that story in the way some other colleagues were, because I was immersed in a very private drama.
Mm.
And over the years watching television, one of the things that I've realised, being involved in television news, and you'd get it here on the radio show, when you do a story that is important and you consider it important, and then you get response from the audience, and their response is not always aligned with your own or with the program's response.
Yep.
And I remember years ago, there was a story, you'll remember it, when there were the troubles in Northern Ireland and there was vision of two soldiers being caught in a taxi in Northern Ireland and engulfed, and a mob. And you didn't see much. You saw from a distance the mob engulfing that taxi and beating on the roof with sticks, and you learnt through the voiceover only that those two men were killed by the mob.
Mm.
At the same time, there were hideous, shocking droughts in Eritrea and parts of Africa. And we were showing nightly images of skeletal children, you know, attached to their skeletal mother's breasts and dying literally in their arms. And we had very, very, very strong vision of that.
Mm.
In the same bulletin, and we got, I remember taking a call from a very irate listener saying, how dare we show that explicit footage of those British boys being killed?
Mm.
And she said nothing about those kids dying in the arms of their mothers. And that was, for me, much more explicit footage.
Yep, yep.
But because she was British, by birth.
Meant a lot to her.
She identified with those boys in the cab in a way she couldn't or didn't identify with those African people dying. So it's going to be, I think, provocative tonight to see how people respond.
What about Port Arthur? We haven't even talked about that. Now,
well,
again,
there's an Australian story.
As an Australian person.
How did that change Australia? It changed it enormously. And still today, the reforms that John Howard put in post-Port Arthur about guns are looked to by the world.
So we got the assassination of Martin Luther King, JFK, the death of Princess Diana. All of these stories worthy of being number one. Jane, thanks so much for coming in, and I'm looking forward to this tonight. Yeah. Just talking about it now, it really stirs up the emotion.
Action-packed.
It's going to be a fantastic show. 8:40 tonight on Channel 7. Jane Doyle, thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to go around the panel in just a moment. Roo, I want yours, and Mel the button pusher, I want yours as well. I reckon this is a real interesting topic, having spoken to Jane Doyle. So we'll get to that in a moment. We'll hear from Blakey and Alice the Wag as well. The incident that was a real life-changing one for you.